Good morning and welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Society of New Haven. We've been a force for liberal religion since 1836 and we're continuing.
Those who have come through together. Not us, but the wind that blows through us. A fine wind is blowing the new direction of time. If only we let it bear us, carry us, if only it carry us. If only we are keen and hard like the sheer tip of a wedge, driven by invisible blows. The rock will split, we shall come at the wonder, we shall find the Hesperides. What is that knocking? What is that knocking at the door in the night? It is somebody who wants to do us harm. No, it is the three strange angels. Admit them.
I'd like to read, I have a couple poems today from Les Murray, who's he was born in 1938, and he grew up on a farm in Australia in a section that was kind of rough, down farmers. I mean, not as rednecks as those in Sydney and so on. So they grew up, it was a hard travel life, in other words. And Murray was seriously overweight. And as a result, was constantly teased and bullied all the way through school. But he turned out to be a genius, fortunately. And so, he's considered one of the greatest poets writing in English that's alive today. An absolutely ordinary rainbow. The word goes around Rapin. The murmur goes around Lorenzini's. At Tattersall's, men look up from sheets of numbers. The stock exchange scribblers forget the chalk in their hands, and men with bread in their pockets leave the Greek club. There's a fellow crying in Martin Place. They can't stop him. The traffic in George Street is banked up for half a mile and drained of motion. The crowds are edgy with puck, and more crowds come hurrying. Many run in the back streets, which minutes ago were busy main streets, pointing. There's a fellow weeping down there. No one can stop him. The man we surround, the man no one approaches, simply weeps and does not cover it. Weeps not like a child, not like the wind, like a man, and does not declaim it, nor beat his breast, nor even sob very loudly. Yet the dignity of his weeping holds us back from his face. The hollow he makes about him, in the midday light, in his pentagram of sorrow. And uniforms back in the crowd who try to seize him, stare out at him and feel with amazement their minds longing for tears as children for a rainbow. Some will say in the years to come, a halo of force stood around him. There is no such thing. Some will say they were shocked and would have stopped him, but they will not have been there. The fiercest manhood, the toughest reserve, the slickest wit amongst us trembles with silence and burns with unexpected judgments of peace. Some in the concourse scream who thought themselves happy. Only the smallest children and such as look out of paradise come near him and sit at his feet with dogs and dusty pigeons. Ridiculous, says a man near me, and stops his mouth with his hands as if he uttered vomit. And I see a woman shining, stretch her hand and shake as she receives the gift of weeping, as many as follow her also receive it. And many weep for sheer acceptance, and more refuse to weep for fear of all acceptance. But the weeping man, like the earth, requires nothing. The man who weeps ignores us and cries out of his writhing face an ordinary body, not words, but grief, not messages, but sorrow, hard as the earth, sheer, present as the sea. And when he stops, he simply walks between us, mopping his face with the dignity of one man who has wept and now has finished weeping. Evading believers, he hurries off down Pitt Street. I think my services tend to be somewhat the art of the bricolure, collages, and that you will actively use your imagination and your soul to draw some. to create some connections. There you go, see what I mean? Here's another poem by Les Murray. The last hello. The last hello. Don't die, Dad, but you die. This last year he was wandering, took off a new chainsaw blade and cobbled a spare from bits. Perhaps if I lay down, my head will come better again. His left shoulder kept rising higher in his cartilage. He could see death in the face. Family used to call him in and look at sick ones and say, at his own time, he was told. The knob found in his head was duck egg size. Never hurt. 2 to 6 months, Cecil. I'll be right, he boomed to his poor sister on the phone. I'll do that when I finish dying. Don't die, Cecil. But they do. Going for last drives in the bush, odd, massive, board-slotted stumps, bony white in whipstick second growth. I could chop all day. I could always cash a check in Sydney or anywhere, any of the shops. Eating, still at the head of the table, he now missed food on his knife side. Sorry, Dad, but, like, have you forgiven your enemies? Your father and all them? All his lifetime of hurt? I must have, grin. I don't think about that now. People can't say goodbye anymore. They say last hello. Going fast over Christmas, he'd stumble out of his room where his photos hang over the other furniture and play host to his mourners. The courage of his bluster, firm, big voice of his confusion. 2 last days in the hospital, his long forearms were still red mahogany. His hands gripped steel frame. I'm dying. On the second day, you're busting to talk, but I'm too busy dying. Grief ended when he died, the widower, like soldiers who won't live life their mates missed. Good boy, Cecil, no more bluey dog, no more cow time, no more stories. We're still using your imagination, it was stronger than all ours. The graves got littler somehow in the 3 months, more pointy as the clay shriveled like a stuck zip in a coke. Your cricket boots are in the State Museum. Odd letters still come. 2 more has died since you, Annie and Stuart, old Stuart. On your day, there was a good crowd, family and people from away. But of course, a lot had gone to their own funerals first. Snobs mind us off religion nowadays if they can. Fuck them. I wish you got. I think we could maybe reflect a little bit on our experience yesterday, and what I'm thinking is try to think about the experience rather than the specific issues we discussed, see if we could, you know, sort of step back a little and see if there was anything to be gained by that. I've been reading lately an African-American poet named Nathaniel Mackey, who also has written a series of novels called From a Broken Bottle, Traces of Perfume Still Emanate. He is extremely involved with music, primarily jazz, but also music of North Africa, flamenco music, and other musics. And so his novel concerns a jazz band, and it's in the form of a series of letters that he's written to someone called Angel of Dust. And so what I was thinking is that there are certain parallels or analogies between this jazz band and its life and its music and the UU. And so what I wanted to say is there's a sweet, sassy music that's waiting to be made, and no one else can do it. And so we should do this thing. And we're already doing it, but we can do it more. That is an image of what we're doing. it's a music of time and change. It finds a creative element in time and change. It's not the sort of music that puts you out into a sort of stasis. One off of field, so you go into its eternity and it's sort of this long drawn maybe, but another thing about much of the music that he's particularly interested in, and that I also am drawn to, is that there's a sort of disturbance in the depths of the music. It's this disturbance that gives life, that is creative. In certain African there's an African instrument that what's what they call it? I think it's a thumb piano, which is goes inside of a calabash for a sounder, and then they will hang little things around it, like little cowrie shells sometimes, so that when you play it, you not only get the resonance, but you get this buzzing noise. And so it's this sort of raspy buzzing quality that Mackey is interested in, and he also discusses at number of times the concept of duende, which is a term that comes from the Spanish poet García Lorca, who was very interested in flamenco music too in his time. Duende in Spanish refers to a sort of gremlin or imp, but it's sort of been expanded to have to do with Moorish sounds. Antemoro means Moorish music because of the time that the black people were living in Spain during the Middle Ages before they were forced out, and they were, of course, Muslims. And so the North African music came in through that way. And so it was said that duende has to do with dark sounds or black sounds. And that one who sings with technical perfection, but lacks duende, will never really be any good at singing this type of music. And that it's actually almost like singing beyond voice. So, what this reminds me of is that contradiction and dissonance are a part of our life, which we often, I think, tend to view as basing ourselves on a kind of rationalism and desire for purity, let's say. Let's have racial purity, that everybody stick to their own kind, you know. This would be wonderful. Everything would be clear that way. But it would be dead. And so the element of dissonance and contradiction actually is what enriches the music. And it's, I think the best jazz music is a way in which the various voices are talking to each other, and sometimes they're arguing and contradicting each other. And it's the ability to bring these different energies into a unity, not through a top-down sort of hierarchical lobbying force in the very act of the conversation itself. That instead of killing each other, you have a conversation, you might get mad and yell, but it ends up being an art form, or something satisfying comes out of it. So we know that you have a call and response that comes from Africa, and that's part of gospel music, it's also part of jazz, and then improvisation. I hadn't really realized until lately that the way improvisation works is that people memorize and pass one of these pieces of music, sort of, and then they sort of splice them together and as they go along. They're not just inventing it out of nothing. You know, there's invention, but it's more like the idea that Homer created, or some, you know, that the poets, the poetry of Homer, which maybe it wasn't Homer, was consisted of little stock phrases. Now, we know some of them, like the rosy-fingered dawn, or the wine-dark sea, or the man-killing sea. These are some of the little tags. And the poem is called the Rhapsode, which refers to stitching. So you stitch together these various parts. And the way they're put together each time is different. And in fact, on jazz records, you get an alternate tape. And the alternate tape means they did it two different times. And then it wasn't exactly the same, you know. So there's this fluidity. And one of the things that is really important about improvisation is that you have to be a really good listener. You have to really hear the other instruments. Otherwise, you just make a mess of it. And so I think that the experience yesterday has some resonance with some of these things. You have to be a really good listener, and I think you also have to experience feeling. You can't go at it on a purely head level, because there's all this other information coming at you, coming to you through feeling. And if you don't have that, you're not going to really be able to make this into a kind of art form. It's an ongoing, many-voiced conversation that becomes a kind of an art form and develops creative energy as it moves forward. So we have been, we can become, develop a kind of wholeness which is not static, and in constant motion and change. As we feel our way forward, a group of friends feeling our way forward, a step at a time. No one knows exactly what our music is going to sound like. We don't know. Don't have it all written down. This is probably irrelevant, but I just read it and I thought it was so great I threw it in. There's an alternative tradition that says that story about Prometheus stealing fire from heaven was wrong. Actually, Zeus stole it from Prometheus.
I am.
So just one more. We have this fire here, this life, this energy. It's on the ground with us, and that's, I think, very profoundly Unitarian idea, and us being universalists, because universalists, some of them actually believe that even the devil would be saved in the end. So now I'll open up.